name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the quote that's given us from the Old Testament prophets about this feast is, "Fear not, Zion. Your King comes to you." The context occurs between the raising of Lazarus that we celebrated yesterday, but recorded in the Gospel of John right before this passage we just heard, in this passage. And between those two accounts, there's a discussion, an account given to us of a dialogue that the Jewish leaders are having, religious leaders. And they reason as follows. This man, Jesus, does many signs and wonders, and everybody's going out to believe in him, follow him. And this is going to result in Rome, the Romans, coming to take our nation away from us. And so he needs to be put to death. Otherwise, we're going to lose our nation. So they were driven, sure, by envy, we're told, but they were driven by fear. Fear that this man was going to upset their identity, upset who they were, bring turmoil and chaos into their way of life. And when you act out of fear, you act aggressively. You give in to the idea that the ends justifies the means, and so it's okay to spread false accusations, to make things up, to slander, because after all, you're pursuing a very important ideal. You're totally convinced in your own mind that what you're pursuing is what's good and right and important, not for yourself, for the nation, for your people. The people that God has chosen. There's a whole framework in which everything makes sense to us so that we can inflict violence on another and save our community, our way of living. This is kind of mob mentality, and on Great and Holy Friday, in just a few days, we'll remember the mob mentality. It shouted, crucify him, as a result of this fear, really quite simply fear. Normally, in the scriptures, we think of the opposite of fear as love. St. John tells us in the epistle, love casts out, perfect love casts out all fear. That's true, maybe we'll get to that in a moment, but the operative, positive term in today's gospel, in this account of the entry of our Lord into Jerusalem is joy. People are just filled with joy. They're singing, they're climbing trees, they're cutting down branches. There's a great crowd before him and after him. They're just filled with joy. They're not afraid. They're not afraid of what people think of them. They're not afraid of looking foolish. They're not afraid of what their religious leaders think of them. They're just filled with joy. It was in the epistle reading today, for today appointed, from Philippians. Rejoice, rejoice always, again I say rejoice. But then it goes on and says, let your forbearance be made known to all men. Let this sort of enduring quality, character be known that it's not that joy occurs because everything's going right for us. Think again that marvelous text in James, Epistle of St. James, to consider it all joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials. And so the joy that is truly given to us by the Holy Spirit is a joy that has this not only enduring quality, this forbearing quality, but is able to embrace the challenges and tribulations and difficulties that come our way with this sense that God, the King, who's coming, who's entering our lives, entering our world, able to set things right. He doesn't enter our world the way in which a military might would, which has conquered the city and great powerful horses and chariots and a huge army and swords and weapons of all sorts. He enters it in this humble, gentle, unassuming manner. He's meek and lowly, and it's in this way that he comes to conquer. As we'll be singing in a week's time, he conquers death by death. So we always find ourselves in our life with this choice about how to respond to our circumstances, whether or not the things that occur in our life become for us an occasion for fear of what might happen, and we let our mind go down certain paths. Construct a world in which we have to act in a certain kind of way because we're afraid of what's going to happen to us. Or we embrace what it is that God has before us with a delight, a joy, a sense that God reveals himself to us in the strangest and most unusual ways. Like sitting on the colt of a donkey, having little children run around and play and delight. In the Dravaran for this feast, the Kentakin for this feast, it says that this king is going to come to call Adam back. So the feast is not only a kind of a personal experience for us, that Christ comes to enter our lives, but he comes to enter all of creation. He descends into Hades, where Adam resides, to pull Adam and Eve back out. Ultimately to transform the fallen world and the brokenness of the world into its former state of glory, paradise. So it's at once a personal feast for each and every one of us to face these trials, brokenness, fallenness of our world, and not be driven into fear, but receive it with joy, but also to remember that this feast tells us that that's his entry into all of the created realm, that all of the created realm is going to be restored and returned to its proper state. In the context of our world as we have it now with the coronavirus and so many people not be able to join in procession. That's the opposite of a mob, it's a procession. We're going somewhere, we're united. We're filled with joy on this journey, this pilgrimage. So many people are not able to join in the way that we're used to in the pilgrimage of the church. But my sense, my little bit, very small, unrepresentative, well maybe representative, a very small sampling of what's going on in the Orthodox world as we face these days, is that some people are responding with fear, I'm sorry to say. Some people are taking this time to post on blogs how terrible the bishops are, how they don't have any courage, and they're calling for all kinds of horrendous things. It's a kind of, and the internet really fuels this mob mentality. It's easy to put out false things, it's easy to say slanderous things, it's easy to exaggerate. It's a terrible use of this device that we have. So there is that going on. I don't know to what extent, but I know some of it's there, and I find it quite disturbing. But I will say that the vast majority of what I see and been exposed to is absolutely filled with joy. Parishes are finding the most creative ways to get people involved, especially the families and children. All of these resources, people are sacrificing their time and offering their talents to create creative ways in which, in this most unusual situation, people can get some taste of Holy Week and Pascha. So far more than the mob-driven, fear-driven mob, and the shouts of violence and anger, by far more is this marvelous procession of people who don't really even recognize that they're in a procession, because they're isolated in their homes. But one by one family by one family, one parish by one parish, people are entering into Holy Week and Pascha, the Bright Week, in a way that they haven't before, with a kind of intentionality. It's very, very beautiful. It's really responding to this fearful situation with love, with sacrifice, with offering. And that opens the door to this joy. I think we need to remember in prayer, especially those who live alone, because I think it's hardest for them to have the motivation and the energy to feel a part of this. But thank God it's happening. We pray that everyone in the life of the church gets swept up into the procession, the journey toward Jerusalem, the great city of our King, and not get drawn aside by the temptation of fear, anger, frustration, and enter into that mountain. It's for us to do that in our own little ways, but it's also for us to pray that the church responds to this trial and tribulation with that kind of joy that can only be given to us by the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.